Welcome to Betamax Returns, the podcast that takes vetoed and rejected items and spins them into gold. Or hopefully it does. Here are two people that have been together for 20 years because it is court mandated. Matt and Jen.
Nice, Matthew. Court mandated.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's necessarily court mandated, but expense mandated. I can't afford to live in the cardboard box I'd be living in if I was divorced. So it's Matt joining me for the first time ever, and the first time ever on a video podcast is someone that those of you who are familiar with the podcast probably have heard before.
Wife of show, Jen.
And, you know, this is a thing where people are probably wondering, what kind of person is with this
married
guy?
To you? Yeah.
How low is her self-esteem or her self-worth? all those things. So why don't you kind of give a little bit about yourself?
So I'm Jen, again, wife of show Jen. I am married to an amazing man. That would be you.
Okay.
We've been together almost 21 years, Matthew. Two kids, and he is the love of my life. He's my best friend and everything. So there's the sweetheart.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to move equipment over here, and I was hoping you were going to actually switch things over so that
I could just talk by myself.
Yeah, so that would be. So this is not only is this a video podcast, this is a little bit of a change because this is the first time that I'm giving up some of my control, if you will. And actually, when it comes to the regular podcast, and I got to remember not to do this because I'm using different microphones, but with the regular podcast, it is all
you.
All sound clips are on me. Cues are on me. And I've actually
gave me two buttons, Matthew, two buttons. So well, I don't have a lot.
It's three buttons. It's three buttons. You have the ability to change the camera feed.
Fine. I will do that now.
See?
Now it's on me.
And then you also have the ability to, you have one sound clip.
I do have one sound clip. We'll see if we play it.
So let's actually get into it a little bit. First of all, just to start with, I think a great introduction would be not so much who you are, but how we came to be.
Okay. First of all, my story is way better than yours on this. So Matthew and I met in a elevator. Believe it or not. So this is at work. We're both going up the elevator and we get off on the same floor. But here's the thing. You know, when you're in an elevator with only one other person, well, you kind of chit chat. And that's what he did. But little did I know he was actually checking me out. He was seeing if I was already taken and all those kind of things. So then weeks pass. Like we get off the elevator, go two different ways. Weeks pass, never see this guy again. And then all of a sudden he shows up in my office and starts rambling on about this is what you do and this is what I do. And there's no like, we're in totally different things. And I'm like, who are you and what do you want? And then he asked me to lunch. How we met.
There are certain parts of that story that are true. But a lot of that is certain parts that are true.
The whole thing's true.
No, that right there is false. So first of all, you're right, we met in an elevator. I will give you that much. So that's true. And then what I did, thank you for switching that back. I totally forgot. So maybe I'll now I'm going to take control and I'm going to be the one in charge here. No, but we worked in the same department and I was a contractor and my concern was there was no conflict of interest because
yes, dear, you did say that. You actually used those words, conflict of interest. So important.
But I talked to my boys and I said, "Hey, so what's the story on this girl?" And I set out my feelers to find out, well, is she available? Is she not available? In the elevator, I did check to see if she was wearing a ring.
You did tell me that.
So, but when I went into her office, she had an org chart on the wall. And I went up to the org chart and I said, well, this is me. Can you tell me what it is that you do? And she walked over, she said, these are my people. These are the systems I'm responsible for whatever reason you want to know. And I walked out of there and I'm like, yeah, I'm not asking this broad out. There's no way.
But yet you did.
Well, that's because my roommate at the time, who also worked on that floor, would just not let it go. And it was kind of like, okay, I'll ask her out and that will kind of.
Yeah, one date and done, two dates done.
Yeah.
You are such a weirdo on our first date too. Like, what a weirdo. I told my mom, so just so you know, I always went out with everyone twice because the first date, everybody's always a weirdo. always a weirdo. And you were no exception to that. So I agreed to go out a second time. So at lunch, he was a complete weirdo, talking about green jackets
lunch does not count as a date. No, it does not.
But you did say, hey, let's go to a happy hour Friday. And then you finally relaxed.
Well, there's more to it. So we don't need to get into all of that.
What are we drinking? I need to start drinking. I noticed you took a drink.
So here's the thing. One of her big critiques of the podcast as a whole is you have too many segments, cut segments. And yes. one of the segments she asked me to cut, she asked me to actually bring back for this one.
Just for this one, because, well. Beverage for the
show. So wait a silence her. I do have the ability to mute your microphone. So. Beverage for the show. They are
thirsty. Yeah. So not that I'm drinking anything exciting, but I wanted to drink on this podcast because I think it'll be more fun later. So I am drinking just a Miller Lite.
So does this count as talking time?
What do you mean? For us, like talking time?
Yes.
Like I'll even consider this a pseudo date since you never take me on a date.
Well,
and you want to talk about that?
No.
Like no dates ever. I don't take me to movies. You don't take me out to eat. Going out to eat. You don't, we never go dancing. Like we never do anything. We never go
dancing. I'm 50. You're 52. Yeah, no, don't
go. We don't do anything.
Speaking and dancing will come up. Yeah. Dancing will come up in this podcast.
I know.
But I'll come home from work. And now that I'm back in the office, I'm in the office like half the time. I'll come home and sit down, want to just kind of relax. And she will turn off the TV. Like, why are you turning off the TV? So we can talk. Like, why?
That's right.
Why? I don't understand why. Why
Matthew, do we have to talk? I love talking to you. You're my husband.
So,
and I love dancing with you. I make you dance with me at least once a year. And when is that, Matthew? And to what song is that?
It is August 4th.
Our anniversary.
And it is to a, so do I use my joke here? Do I use
it's the Bon Jovi song. Thank you for loving me. And why is it that song?
Because that was our wedding song.
And who picked it?
I didn't. That was stupid because I picked really the longest song in the Bon Jovi catalog. It's like 6 minutes long.
It's like really long. But I make him dance with me.
I am drinking a Miller Lite right now well, but I will be changing it up. But I'm also drinking out of my, because I was inverted, mug that I got from Lawn Chair. So thank you Lawn Chair. But one last thing, and then we can actually get to.
Start the movie?
Well, we usually have so much preamble before we actually get into the movie part of it. And I know you wanted to cut and there's no song and there's none of that stuff. And it'll be interesting. This is a more or less a proof of concept. We will see how this works. And I'm just trying to check. I have boards all over here. So I'm trying to figure out making sure that I have everything actually set up. But the reason that we're doing this movie, the how this actually came to be, if you will, is a year and a half ago. It was, I think, in the first season. It was either in the first season or the second season. I picked Dirty Dancing as a movie, and Doug vetoed that. And I kind of kept that in the back of my head of, okay, somewhere down the line, when I have an acclamation or an accumulated number of podcasts, maybe you and I could do a podcast
together. And here we are.
And then I had brought up the whole idea of doing a video podcast with Doug, and he really was not on board with that. So I had equipment that I wanted to actually use.
We'll try it out.
So why not? If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I mean, it's not like we're going to be upsetting or exciting a lot of users either way. So why don't you go ahead? It is, even though it's not your movie per se, you have the intro for the movie. So go ahead and tell us
about it. I do. And there is no song, which is kind of weird, but we are doing Dirty Dancing. Switch it over. Okay, fine. I'm switching it. We are doing Dirty Dancing. So Dirty Dancing was released August 21st, 1987. And it was the first film to sell over 1 million copies on home video. Did you know that, Matthew?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, the box office was over 214 million. And the ratings were really positive from critics. And the soundtrack, which I think most people would know about is the soundtrack, what sold like 11 million copies, was number one for months and months and months.
Okay.
But most people know that the movie stars Patrick Swayze as Johnny Castle, best known for Ghost, Roadhouse, Point Break. Jennifer Grey as Baby Houseman. She was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Red Dawn, which also Patrick Swayze was in. Cynthia Rhodes, who is Penny, she was in Flashdance and Staying Alive. And a couple more I'll mention, their smaller roles. Jerry Orbach as Dr. Houseman. He was in Law and Order. Do you remember? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. And then Jane Brucker, Mrs. Houseman, or Lisa Houseman, actually. There's nothing on her, really. Nothing.
Okay.
And Jack Weston, who is Max Kellerman. That's important. He was in Wait Until Dark, The Ritz, and a Perry Mason TV show.
Yeah, he's been in, he's one of those people that you recognize. He's one of those guys. He's more of a character actor, but he's been in a lot of different things. So, did you see this in the theater?
I did not.
Really? I'm surprised.
I did not. Do you want to know who wrote it or anything? I usually like that.
Sure.
Written by Eleanor Bergstein.
Okay.
And produced by Linda Gottlieb.
Okay.
And directed by Emily Ardolino.
And this movie was actually produced by Vestron. Vestron was actually a home video company.
Okay.
If you watch the Movies That Made Us episode on Dirty Dancing, they kind of go into that a lot.
I haven't seen that. Should I watch that?
I told you should have watched it before we did this. Yeah,
well, I missed out.
I really need to go up a little bit.
I was going to say, this screenplay was written by Bernstein's, and it was based on her own childhood experiences. Before we get into the movie, Matthew, you know that this movie won Academy Awards for Best Original Song, The Time of My Life, Golden Globes, same thing, Grammys, same thing. So the soundtrack did really well.
So the Oscar was for Time of My Life, not for She's Like the Wind?
No, Time of My Life.
She's Like the Wind, as I mentioned on the last regular podcast we did. Only song ever recorded by Patrick Swayze. It actually was recorded before this movie, and he just happened to have it, and they used it for this.
Yeah, well, he's awesome.
So you didn't ask me what you're supposed to. That's part of the whole, you know, returning the pitch.
Sorry, missed my cue. Did you see it in the theater?
Yes, I actually have a good story about this.
Oh, that's why you wanted me to ask you. Okay, go ahead.
So I was...
You should put it on yourself sometimes, just yours. A picture of you.
Oh, I can do that, I suppose. So there you go. I was grounded. I don't remember what I was grounded for. It was summer, so I was grounded. That was pretty standard. But I had, there's this person in my neighborhood who was from my class, but his parents had this huge party every year. It was called their last name blowout. And I got to go to that because it was a neighborhood thing. And then after the neighborhood thing was over, we were doing, a bunch of people were going to the movies. They're going to Scotsland Cinemas. Scotsland Cinemas was in Oconomowoc. You've actually been to where the movie theater is. The movie theater isn't there anymore. That's where we went. That's where we stayed for my niece's graduation, the little shitty resort Olympia.
Yeah.
That used to be kind of a big deal. But that was one of the few movie theaters that were around at that time. And the Packers were actually there for some kind of mini camp. So in the theater, when we watched Dirty Dancing, there was a significant number of the Green Bay Packers were there as well.
Oh, very cool.
Which was really cool, except they were giving me a hard time about one of the girls that was sitting by us that I should be making a move, which I did not do. So,
coward.
Well, you know, it is the same theater where I saw Gremlins, and we all know what happened in Gremlins.
Gremlins?
Yeah. So, the movie itself starts, and thank you for shifting that back. And this is a thing where...
It opens in black and white.
Oh, black and white, and there is a song being played. And do you know what song that is?
Okay, I didn't write down any of those.
Okay, it's Be My Baby by the Ronettes.
Hey, speaking of that, have you noticed how many songs in this movie had the word baby in it?
Well, that's probably not coincidence.
I know. I mean, I know the main character's name's Baby, but I thought, that's a lot. Anyway, go ahead.
But the Ronettes, they were one of the groups that Phil Spector managed with Phil Spector's Wall of Sound, the guy with the crazy hair that got convicted of killing the lady that was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, gosh.
And there was this song, the Ronettes song, reminded me of, it took place in, did you ever watch Moonlighting?
Yes, sort of.
There was a very pivotal scene in Moonlighting second or third season that this song played a critical part in.
I may have just let the best thing that ever happened to me get away. And look at me, here I am, spending the evening having another pointless argument with you.
know what this is? What scene this is from?
Fine.
Good.
Good.
Bitch.
Bastard. Get out. Get out.
And then she goes to hit him one third time.
Okay, I don't think I had seen that.
Hit the stop button. I don't have one on this board. Thank you. So that is the first time that Dave and Maddie have sex.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I guess I never really watched the
kind
show
of
then.
Throw everything off of the coffee table, and it was a big will they, won't they thing, like later Ross and Rachel, who were on a break. We agree on that.
We do agree on that.
But it is the dancing that they're showing in this black and white scene over the Be My Baby song is actually footage that's used in the very end of the film. And it's also them dancing at the, what would you call it? The crew shack or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I forget what I called it.
But
place where the crew hangs out.
Yeah, exactly. The soundtrack to this film is awesome. That is something that's
so
great.
Oh, awesome.
But I mean, you grew up, you were born in the 60s. I was not.
Okay, barely. November 69.
Still, you barely. You're born in the 60s. So, but
thanks, babe.
What year is this?
63.
It's the summer of 63. And where are they at?
So they are headed to Kellerman's, which is in New York.
Catskills.
Like Catskills. Yeah, in the Catskills. But did you know it actually wasn't filmed in New York? It was filmed in North Carolina. Did you know that?
I probably did hear that, but I did not know that.
Yeah, so it's summer of 63, and four people are in a car. And you hear this female voice narrating, and everyone soon learns that they call this person Baby, and that she doesn't really seem to mind being called Baby. And she grew up... you know, with everybody just calling her that.
And so, who else is in the car?
Her sister.
Right.
And her parents.
Her sister, Lisa.
Yeah.
Her doctor, I think is just doctor.
Dr. Houseman.
And then the wife, who is very, Mrs. very Houseman. Unimportant.
Yeah,
and has,
very
I think,
small role.
Two lines of dialogue, one of which actually is of any consequence. But this reminds me of nothing from when I was growing up as a kid. Because
we never did anything.
We
like
didn't
this
go
either.
To no. you know the Catskills for mm-hmm. for anything. Did mm-hmm. you ever go to any summer camps or like sports camps or anything like that?
Never.
So I went to basketball camp a couple of years, and then I went to Badger Boys State. I wouldn't have been surprised if you had gone to Badger Girls State, or I'm assuming they have some kind of equivalent to that.
Yeah. No.
Okay, well, it's for, you know, future leaders of America. That's the people who are supposed to go.
No,
to
see, my parents couldn't afford to send me to
No, this was
camp.
Free. This
oh,
was
okay.
Free. Yeah, this was, basketball camp was not free, but the Badger Boys State was free.
All right, let's get back to the movie.
But Lisa, the sister, she's bemoaning the fact that she did something wrong. What did she do wrong?
She forgot or didn't bring her shoes.
She only brought 10 pairs of shoes.
I know.
And this is probably something you can relate to.
I can, because you always want your shoes to match your outfits and everything to work out. But they show up at the resort, and there are people checking in, and there's lots of activities going on. And Mr. Kellerman, his name's Max Kellerman, he owns this joint. He greets the Houseman family because Dr. Houseman had been his doctor at one point.
Saved his life. And you missed a side character that is not important, but pops up quite a bit and is a character that
the
most
grandson?
People know.
Oh.
He comes up in just a second. There is a character actor that is talking on a bullhorn or a blowhorn, if you're Doug, and he's announcing activities. But this is somebody that probably everybody will recognize.
The guy from Jurassic Park.
Well, more so from Seinfeld, but yes, the guy who played Newman on Seinfeld. Yes.
Yeah.
But a baby is helping get the luggage out of the trunk. And we find out this is the doctor's first vacation in how long?
I don't know. Long
6
time.
Years.
Yeah, a long time.
And how long is the vacation?
3 weeks. Holy cow. That seems like a lot. And what would that cost, Matthew?
I would think for a doctor you have, he's probably got his own private practice, right?
Oh, yeah.
So he's not missing out on, he's not just paying the 3 weeks to be there. He's missing out on 3 weeks of income. And you got to figure that's probably a nice chunk of change unless he has other people in his practice that are kind of like taking up the slack for him.
Yeah.
But now there's kind of like this group thing under a gazebo.
where they're learning to dance.
And the girl from Flashdance, we find out her name is Penny, she is leading a merengue class.
Like, what the heck?
And this is the first time we see Baby dancing. How does Baby dance?
Baby can't dance, Baby.
Yeah, she has two left feet.
But would you do this with me? Like, if we went to the Catskills and they were offering this dance class, would you do this with me?
No.
Please.
Well, first of all, we're never going to the Catskills. So that's not important.
Yeah, but what if we went to, like, Mexico or something and they were offering this cool Learn the Mambo? Let's go.
Why? Learn. Why?
To learn something new.
Why?
Because, Matthew, life is about experiences, and you can't just keep doing the same thing over and over again. You need to sometimes try new things.
Oh, keep that in mind. but they, there's a nice cabin. They're in a nice cabin. And assume all of them, even the crew cabins are not bad.
Yeah, agree.
So it's very, very similar to the Shangri-La as far as how the cabin is. But Baby is walking away to the cabin. She's walking over to the main building, and she hears Kellerman talking about the help. And specifically, there are two types of help. And it's kind of important because it actually lays out a lot of what happens throughout the rest of the film.
Okay.
You waiters are all college guys. And I went to Harvard and Yale to hire you. And why did I do that? Why? I shouldn't have to remind you, this is a family place. That means you keep your fingers out of the water, your hair out of the soup, and show the goddamn daughters a good time. All the daughters. Even the dogs.
And Baby's just kind of walking around.
Schlep them out to the terrace. Show them the stars. Romance them any way you want.
Got that, guys?
The thing to do. Hey, hold it!
That's Johnny.
And he looks good.
Well, if it isn't the entertainment staff. Listen, wise ass, you got your own rules. Dance with the daughters. Teach them the mambo, the cha-cha, anything they pay for. But that's it. That's where it ends.
That's where it ends.
No funny business, no conversations, and keep your hands off!
And,
yeah.
It's the same in all these places. Some ass in the woods, maybe, but no conversation.
and that's total crap, because there is something that comes up very, very soon where Kellerman is talking about some of the guests, where he knows that people like Johnny, part of his unwritten kind of job description is to take care of the single wives that are there whose husbands are not there.
Yes.
But immediately upon his first entrance, as Johnny is walking in, Baby's smitten. She's a smitten kitten.
Oh, yes. And aren't we all?
And there's one of the waiters.
Johnny
and
is
I think it's Robbie. And Robbie
and Johnny have a moment. There's some obvious tension between them.
But women like the bad boys. So when you were growing up, was that a factor for you? Was that an attraction factor for you?
For sure. So there were a couple guys that I dated that were kind of the bad boy type, for sure. There was an attraction there, but you learn after having some of those experiences that they're not so great. So, all right, I'm going to take over here a little bit.
Okay, go back.
I was going to say, so Johnny and Robbie have this moment, and there's this obvious tension between them, and then that's the end of that scene. So then we go into the Houseman family having dinner. And, you know, it just seems to be this lovely dinner and they're really picking out and everything. And there's all this food left. And so I think it was the mom or the dad. Baby wanted to have her food all wrapped up and send it to some country where people are starving. And then I think it was Mr. Kellerman says, well, what's Lisa going to do? And Baby says, Lisa's going to decorate. Not feed the world or save the world. She's going, or change the world, actually, is like, I think that's what Baby was going to do. Lisa's going to decorate the world.
And that is just as valid of...
It is, it is. But it does show a little bit about how Baby and Lisa interact.
Yeah, and there is, we are introduced to Neil now.
Yes, the grandson. First time.
And we did miss one introduction when the luggage was being taken out of the car. That was Johnny's cousin, which I Billy. Never caught. Oh, it's Billy. I never caught his name. But now we're introduced to Neil. And Neil is
the grandson of the owner, Mr. Kellerman.
Yeah. And he's very aware of the fact that he is financially set. And that comes up quite a bit. But we find out that Baby is starting college in the fall. So she just graduated from high school.
Yes.
And where does she want to go?
She wants to join the Peace Corps.
Do you know anybody that joined the Peace Corps?
No, do you?
Yeah. So B-Dub's brother, Goat, actually was in the Peace Corps for a couple of years after college, and he met his wife in some country in the Peace Corps.
You know, though, in 1963, the Peace Corps was pretty new at that point. Like, that was kind of a new thing. It had been around a couple years. I think Kennedy was the one that introduced the Peace Corps. So that was pretty new.
Well, if Kennedy introduced, it had to be very new because, you know, Kennedy...
I want to say it was like a couple years. Yeah, a couple years it had been around.
Yeah, I want to fix my camera so it's just a little bit different, but I'm going to just deal with it. But it's I'm just a little bit too low.
When we need a potty break, Matthew, you can fix the camera.
We're just going to blow through this.
Okay, well then we better keep going. All right, let me take over here for a minute. So we are introduced to another new character here. So Baby and Neil are dancing, and that's when they talk about her joining the Peace Corps. But then we see the conductor, and his name's Tito. He's introduced. He's up front on stage. Then all of a sudden, we see Johnny and Penny take the floor, and they're dancing the Mambo. And they are amazing. It's electrifying. No one can keep their eyes off them. So,
and Matthew, Neil wants Baby to dance with him to this.
I know. Neil says they shouldn't be showing off. Johnny and, you know, Penny shouldn't be showing off, but Baby's memorized. But I was going to ask
Mesmerized.
I was going to ask you, Matthew, do you know the difference between like the Mambo, the Foxtrot, like the Waltz? Like, do you know all those?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, bullshit. Okay, so then...
See, I was trying to keep this so I didn't have to put the E next to the podcast.
Not anymore. We're about to get going. Okay, so Mr. Kellerman, the owner of this joint...
Wait, even... Just hold on. Okay. Slow your roll. Just a second here. Give me back my picture.
There you go, babe.
Baby said she did not want to dance with Neil, but she can barely keep her tongue in her mouth. She is so enamored with this bad boy that she knows zero about.
Yeah, as any woman would at this point. All the wives, all the single women, they're all staring at him.
And just for a little bit of background, for those of you who don't know, Patrick Swayze and, I want to say Mia Sara, but that's the wrong one from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Who is the girl in this?
Jennifer Grey.
Thank you, Jennifer Grey.
Your wife's name is Jennifer?
Sure. But they were in Red Dawn together, as you'd mentioned before. They hated each other on Red Dawn. And Jennifer Grey, I believe, was the first one cast for this. And she did not want to be in another film with Patrick Swayze.
Correct.
And that too. Knowing that, I will actually explain it a little bit more a little bit later. But it's amazing that they have the chemistry that they have, considering the fact that at the time they really hated each other. Yep. I guess they eventually they got to a point where they at least respected each other.
What I heard was he kind of reached out to her and tried to make this thing work. Like he said, this could be an amazing movie. We've got to make this work. Let's give it a chance. Like I heard he tried to convince her.
But like you said, Kellerman is not happy with what he sees going on. But Penny does the leg on the shoulder thing.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's impressive.
You know, that's some... Robbie's a lucky guy. Just leave it at that. But Kellerman gives the
let's throat. Cut it out. Yeah.
And Baby's parents are there as well. And Neil apparently is in charge of the entertainment, and he...
Asked Baby to help him out.
And what part of the entertainment is Baby part?
Oh, no, the magic show.
And what happens to her in the magic show?
She gets cut in half.
She gets sawed in half. And what does she get as a prize for helping out?
Like some kind of chicken or bird or goose or something.
In some forward-thinking symbolism, she gets a cock as a prize. Oh. It's true. That's what it was.
Okay.
But Baby walks outside.
Yes.
And she sees that there's a sign kind of going up the hill where it says staff only.
Yes.
And this is, I had already asked you about the summer camp type stuff, but, and I forgot to mention. So in addition to Badger Boy State and basketball camps, I also went to Brain Camp.
You've told me about brain camp.
And I went to brain camp at Purdue University. It was, I think, between my 7th and 8th grade. It was either between 7th and 8th or 8th and 9th. I was going to
say, but you learned some things there more than intellectual.
First girl I ever kissed was at brain camp.
And what was her name?
Ranel. She lives less than 5 miles from us.
Oh, that's amazing.
And, well, the second girl I kissed was also there. So.
And her name was?
Jennifer.
Jennifer. See, so. Lots of Jennifers.
But she runs into the cousin.
Yes, and he's carrying watermelons.
And those are weird, like, almost, they're weird-shaped watermelons. They're not very round. They're very
long.
Elongated.
Yeah, yeah. So she started heading up to the staff quarters, and then she runs into Billy, the cousin, and he's carrying these watermelons, and basically she offers to carry one. And he tries to convince her not to go. Like you can't.
He tells her to go back.
Yeah.
To the playhouse, I think is what he says. Yeah, go back to the playhouse.
Baby, go back to the playhouse. Which, that's so rude.
But, you know, he's trying to protect himself, and he's also trying to protect her.
Correct. But, you know, she promises she's not going to tell anybody. So she carries a watermelon, and Billy goes and tries to, like, basically back into the door to open it up to get in.
Well, he says she can come if she can keep a secret.
Yes, of course. And then what's funny is he has all these watermelons and he's juggling them almost. And what are you doing, babe? I'll go to me. He's juggling them almost and he almost loses them. But somehow it's a really cool scene. He does not drop one of the watermelons. So that's pretty cool. But the minute the doors open, everyone is in there dirty dancing. And there's clothes missing. There's lots of grinding, sexy dancing.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you, babe, did you ever dirty dance?
Yeah, of course I have. You know that. Well, back when we used to have friends, which was a while ago.
I have lots of friends.
Back when we used to hang out with people, one of the things that your group of friends, your group of college friends would do is go out to dance bars.
Oh, yeah. We'd go drinking and dancing, and you were witness to our antics.
And so I'm an outsider to this party, mm-hmm. you know, and I am not a social person by nature.
And yet I am.
So but I'm trying, you know, I'm trying my best to not make you look bad because I'm socially inept. But we're dancing, and I'm dancing with, well, Jen, for one, and other people in your friend group. And
That's right.
It's all grinding.
Yes. We did lots of dirty dancing in college, after college, mostly with my college friends. But they're all just friends. It's just something we do.
Yeah, but sure. Okay, fine.
Fine.
You're friends, and that's all it is. That's fine.
Yeah,
I get
it
that.
It is fine.
It's like your class reunion, your last class reunion went to.
Oh, yeah, the one you went to, yeah.
And what did I get at your class reunion?
You got a lap dance from one of my classmates, and it was fine.
Yeah, it
that was just something they did.
That okay, that's fine, but there's reactions to actions. Actions have a consequence, right?
Babe.
No, these are guys I don't know, and I'm dancing with their wives, and their wives are grinding against me. And
yeah, pretty exciting.
No, it's.
Oh, you were uncomfortable. I was excited. It
no,
was fun.
It's like, you know, okay, hey, that was fun. Grinding my erect dick against your wife. That's weird.
Okay, moving on. So baby asks, where did they learn how to do this?
And then he asks if she wants to try it.
Yes, but he says they learned it back home in the basements.
Yeah, and the guy brings up...
She's very uncomfortable. She tells Billy no.
Well, it's a completely different environment because they show the dancing on like the ballroom floor and what that looks like. And this is all like it's all smoky room and it's all body parts and clothes and dipping and grinding.
Very and comfortable with their body themselves, their partner, they're changing partners while they're dancing. Everybody's very comfortable.
And then Johnny walks in
with Penny and they take the center of the floor.
They can, I mean, Patrick Swayze was a classically trained dancer,
oh, yeah.
I believe.
So is Penny. Yep.
And
however, Baby or Jennifer Grey was not.
But they can dance, and they have a definite presence to them.
Yes.
And this is where we find out that he is actually Johnny's cousin. He's like, yeah, that's my cousin. And there is something obviously very sexual about dancing. I had this teacher in high school who said that dancing is a vertical expression of a horizontal action.
Yeah. You should, when you're going to talk for a little while, you should put it on you.
Well, no, I really want to fix my height.
Should we pause?
No, that's fine.
Okay, keep going.
But Johnny wants to know why Baby is there.
Yeah. So not to interrupt, I'm going to take over. So we find out that Baby thinks that they're together, but we find out they're not together because Billy tells her not since they were kids. So they did date when they were younger. But Johnny starts dancing with everyone, and he finally makes his way over to his cousin Billy, and that's when he says, you know, what's she doing here? And she says, I carried a watermelon. And you can tell she's so embarrassed, and she's like, oh, I carried a watermelon. You know, just the whole thing. So embarrassed.
What is the dumbest thing that you've said to a guy when you were kind of like wowed by his presence?
I can't even recall. So we'll keep going.
I can see what mine was.
What was yours?
Well, here's the org chart. What is it that you do?
Okay, Dick. Okay, moving on. So taking over again. So Johnny kind of crooks his finger and goes like this. Crooks his finger and says he's come to the dance floor with him.
She comes over, and after she gets there, do you know what he says?
No. What does he say?
Says, I knew my finger could make you come. Oh, anyway,
stop continue. It. Stop it. Okay. So it's funny, but no. So they start dancing and grinding, and he puts, you know, his arms around her, and she puts her arms around him, and they're really getting into it. And then when the song ends, Johnny kind of spins her and walks away or disappears across the room. And then she's fixing her dress and everything because she's clearly a little excited from this whole thing.
Right. And try that one. They were like, there was like pelvic motions in there when they were dancing. Yes. And she was clearly not comfortable or.
But she got into it. Like she started off really like, ooh, but then she was getting into it and she's arms around. I mean, this is this gorgeous man. Like he's gorgeous. Okay. We're moving on though. So that's the end of that scene. And the scene just ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, the next day, which you like to say, everyone is at the beach and there's all these activities going on and women are trying on these wigs and people are swimming and Lisa and Baby are trying on these wigs and Robbie walks up. Mm-hmm. So Lisa's like, says, you know, hi, and you know, she's flirting and everything. But Lisa tells Baby that she's going to go see Robbie later that night and to cover for her.
Yeah, and Robbie is, when he was talking to her, and you forgot to mention that the Kellerman and the dad are playing cards.
Oh, okay.
But Robbie is, as Robbie's hitting on the sister, he's talking about his car, specifically an Alfa Romeo, which I don't know if you're familiar with that type of car.
I don't know cars.
But Penny sees this, and this is a thing kind of, it's when you look at it in retrospect,
yeah,
that there is something between Penny and Robbie.
But, yeah, so when Baby goes to talk to Penny, Penny's like in this bad mood. And Baby tells Penny how wonderful a dancer she is. And Baby tells her that, you know, she envies her. And Penny just gets ticked off and walks away.
But how does this work? I don't understand these are dancers. So Penny's a dancer. Johnny's a dancer. So during the day, they have to do arts and crafts with the rich people too.
You know, that's kind of funny.
I would have thought, you know, if they're the dancers, they're the nighttime entertainment. During the day, they probably would be able to do their own thing.
Like dance lessons and stuff.
Dance lessons, but not wig time and construction paper and stuff like that. But Baby was just trying to be friendly. And then we see some old lady, she's probably actually younger than we are now. Is
funny.
She's dancing with Johnny. And
okay, we're to that evening.
Yeah, Kellerman is giving kind of the doctor the rundown about who this lady is.
Yep.
It's Vivian Presley, one of the bungalow bunnies. That's what we call the women who stay here all week long. The husbands only come up on weekends. Mo Presley's a big card player. He'll join our game.
So this is the same guy who specifically talked to the help and said, you teach them the mambo, you teach them the merengue, and that's it.
That's it.
But at the same time, he is well aware of the fact that part of Johnny's job is
to keep the wives happy,
to basically bang these yep. housewives.
Yep, you're right. So, during this scene, then Neil, the grandson, mm-hmm. asked Johnny where Penny is, and Johnny's like, "Penny needs a break. She needs a break."
They were on a break. Yeah,
they were not on a break. Stop. And then Neil asked Baby to take a walk, and so he's clearly hitting
stop,
on her.
Stop.
Why?
Okay. Yeah, he comes and he scoops Baby up and asks her to go for a walk.
Yeah.
No.
And he's hitting on her, yeah, and he yeah. starts describing himself as the catch
wait,
of the
wait,
county.
Wait, just wait. When you were younger,
uh-oh.
Did you know, hey, let's go for a walk? Did you know what let's go take a walk meant?
It usually meant you were going to go kissing or making out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That mm-hmm. It's not, well, really, this was before the 10,000 step era.
Yeah, where, but this is 63, Matthew. This is 1963. Maybe people, you didn't mean missing.
No, people still did stuff in 1963. But you are right. Neil is putting the moves on to Baby. And
it's so painful.
Yeah.
So painful to watch.
Love to watch your hair blowing in the breeze.
Maybe my parents are looking for me.
Yeah, she wants out.
Baby,
yeah.
Don't worry. If they think you're with me, they'll be the happiest parents at Kellerman's. I have to say it. I'm known as the catch of the county.
He's very, very happy I'm with sure himself.
But last week, I took a girl away from Jamie, the lifeguard, mm-hmm. and he said to her, right in front of me, what does he have that I don't have? And she said, 2 hotels.
Yeah.
He's not wrong. Really, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong, but he really thinks that his financial situation is going to carry him all the way because
it would.
Whatever. No.
Yeah, it really. I mean,
Baby could care less.
Yeah, that is an individual circumstance. In the grand scheme of things, overall, in the overall arching picture of things, his wealth and who he is going to carry him to all the successes he has.
Not if
all
he's an asshole.
Really?
Really?
No, I strongly Moving disagree on, with that.
Speaking of assholes, so they witness.
But it's the confidence, though. It's the confidence.
Okay. Neil
is not an ugly guy, but he is not an attractive guy. He is not a head turner. He is not somebody that is going to make a woman look twice.
Okay.
But as you said, speaking of assholes,
so the next moment, Neil and Baby. See here, Lisa and Robbie, and they're fighting. And Lisa says something like, "Robbie, I haven't heard an apology." And he just says, "You know,
go back to your mom and dad. Maybe they'll hear it there."
Yeah, he just kind of totally, you know. And I'm thinking, okay, that's done, right? We'll hear more about Lisa and Robbie later. But anyways, so Neil says, "Let's go get a snack," and they go into a kitchen. I think it's like the main dining room kitchen kind of area. And,
sure.
And Baby sees Penny crying. Neil doesn't see Penny crying, but Baby sees Neil crying. And then she just says, oh, I should go check on Lisa so she can get away from Neil, get him out of that building because Penny's crying. And Baby runs to get Johnny's cousin, Billy. And Billy gets Johnny.
Right.
To go check on Penny.
And this is where we find out that Penny is pregnant.
Yep, she's, according to them, knocked up.
So, did I ever tell you the knocked up story?
No, let's hear it.
So, my brother was getting married.
You can put the camera on you when you're going to tell a nice long story,
yeah,
babe.
Yeah, please. Okay, technical director, Jen. So, my brother was getting married for the first time. And everybody was in town. This is when everybody still, well, I was still in college, but it's at my parents' house in Sussex. And my grandmother that was there, my Grammy, not my grandma, my Grammy was there. And they were talking about somebody. I don't remember who it was. I think it was actually one of my future sister-in-law's sisters. And I thought they were talking about my cousin because they had the same name. And they said, so-and-so is pregnant. And I'm like, wow, when did she get knocked up? And my grandmother was just absolutely appalled at my turn of phrase.
That you said knocked up?
And she's like, that's terrible. She is a nice person. And I said, nice people get knocked up too. It's just a fact of life. But, you know, that is the kind of thing where, you know, I am who I am, and for good or for bad, I kind of accept a lot of that stuff. But that was so minor, but wow, she was super pissed at me about that. I can only think of one other time she was more pissed at me.
And okay, when was that?
That was our wedding day.
Why?
So when we got married, there was some concern from some people that I was going to make a mockery of the whole ceremony. And there were things discussed that weren't done. Like when you're doing your vows, somebody was going to hold up a cardboard sign that actually had them so that I could read them. But
one, thank you for not doing that, by the way.
But one of my groomsmen is it's actually Doug. He is a bug guy.
Yep, Doug is a bug guy.
And one of the things he has as a bug guy is he has chemicals. And when he's dealing with chemicals, he wears gloves.
Yes, dear, I remember this.
And so he had given me this pink plastic glove, and it was in my pocket. And so we're up at the front of the church during the wedding, and I'm like dabbing my forehead with this bright pink plastic glove. And my grandmother was positive that it wasn't a glove. She thought it was something else.
Oh, underwear?
She thought it was panties from the bachelor party.
Oh, well, could have been. Lord knows.
No, they weren't wearing panties.
Okay, so they get back to this kitchen.
You missed an important part.
Oh, here we go.
But Baby accuses Johnny of being the father.
Oh, yeah. And he doesn't deny or confirm it. He just basically says that is what you would think.
And well, it pisses him off.
Yeah.
But if you see the two of them and you see their body language, it is not a large logic jump to assume that he would be the father.
But anyways, so they go to Penny and Johnny's comforting her, and he carries her to this room where they all hang out, where they dance and hang out. And Johnny offers Penny money, but she tells him it's still not going to be enough. And Penny, somehow, I don't remember how, admits that Robbie is actually the father. And Baby says, well, then...
Do you want me to explain it?
Yeah, go ahead. I don't remember this part exactly.
So Penny says it's hopeless. Baby says it's not. And then Penny says that Baby doesn't understand. It was Robbie was the one who...
And Robbie has money, so that shouldn't be a problem.
And
Baby says that, and then Penny says he knows.
He knows, but there is a doctor that is going to be in the area sometime.
Yep.
And what's the cost going to be?
$250.
That's a lot for back then.
Yeah, I think today I ran some numbers on that. That's about $2,300 in today's money.
Why were you running abortion numbers?
No, I was just seeing what $250 then would be now. So $2,300. But did you know that in today's world, abortions do range like $750 to $1,500? Did you know that?
No, I just can't think of DeMone's
thing. Yeah, it's probably wrong. So, but here's an interesting thing. But I'll tell you more about that later. Go back. Okay, go ahead.
But this is probably would be more of like a Doug type question. And this is a question where I know the answer you're going to give.
Okay.
And then I'll give you the answer that's real.
Uh-oh.
So if you asked me if I knew anybody that had an abortion while I was in high school, the answer would be no. But the actual answer is yes. I do know somebody that had an abortion in high school. I just don't know who that person was. I guarantee there are people that I know that had an abortion in high school. It's just I didn't know that they had an abortion.
Yeah, I did know someone that I went to school with, and it's a pretty difficult decision, and I think probably haunted them for a long time. But you know, I was just a good friend.
Yeah, no, I never ran into that situation. I never had a girlfriend who was late.
Thank goodness.
I never had any, and that was like when we got married and we were talking about having kids, I was somewhat concerned about whether I even could father kids because
you'd banged a lot of women and no one got pregnant.
Yeah. And you know, odds are didn't have the greatest, you know, history with doing certain things. So the fact I hadn't gotten anybody pregnant meant I probably was shooting blanks. But
okay, so the next day, Baby is talking to Robbie, mm-hmm. and she's pouring water while he's setting the tables.
And he's having none of it.
Yeah, he's having none of it. And he says, Penny probably has banged the whole place. And, you know, basically, he wasn't admitting he was the one, the father. And he was, and then he says something dumbass like, Baby, some people count and some people don't. And then he hands her or shows her his book, which is called Fountainhead Book, which I didn't look up
the
what
Fountainhead.
That was. Yeah, the Fountainhead. And she tells him to stay away from her, stay away from her sister. And she pours the pitcher of water on his crotch.
Yeah, she says, stay away from me, stay away from my sister, or I'll have you fired.
Yeah.
But Robbie says that I didn't do this job. I have not been schlepping for people all summer to throw my money away
yeah.
on this.
Yeah, he does.
But then we see the doctor and the doctor's wife, Mrs. Doctor, and they're on the putting green.
Yeah, yeah, they're on the putting green, and Baby asks her dad for the money. And
it's a big ask, $250.
At that point, yeah. And he...
Your sons would ask me for that kind of cash, though.
I know.
Actually, that's not true. Well, one of your two sons would ask me for that kind of cash.
Well, and so while they're putting and she's asking for that, he just says, she just basically says she needs to help a friend, is to help someone. And he specifically asks her if it's illegal.
Was it illegal?
Yes.
Okay.
It was. And she says no when he asks.
No, she doesn't answer.
No, she says no.
No, I don't think.
I wrote down she said no.
He says, she even asked.
No. And okay. She kind of shakes her head. Anyways, so in New York, abortions became legal in 1970, 3 years before Roe v. Wade. So she knew it was illegal.
But here's
the question. So okay. Let's take a little pause here. So if a friend came to you and it is pre-Roe v. Wade, do you do it, even though it's illegal and probably dangerous, and a doctor that's just coming through town for a day?
You're talking about when I was like...
Like if your baby...
I'm 19 years old.
Yeah, your baby.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No question.
Okay.
I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that I would, you know,
people died. Like...
Sure. Well, people die in childbirth, too.
I know, but it just seems very dangerous.
The weird thing is, back then, so, you know... Back then, 200 in for me in high school. So I just graduated from high school. It is 1990. You're probably a couple years into your career after college at that point.
No, I was in college.
But
shut up, jerk.
$250 is a lot of money to me at that point. And that's even in 1990, not even in 1963. That's a lot of money for me. If, you know, one of my friends comes to me and says, I need.
Yeah.
I do it. I figure out a way.
Yeah, I know.
The one benefit I had was I was so poor that I would not have been the person that people would have gone to ask for money because I didn't have it. I would have figured out a way to get it done. But okay.
Okay, so later that night, Baby goes back to the clubhouse where they all hang out and everyone's dancing again. And Baby gives Penny the money.
Once again, soundtrack is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But
awesome.
Johnny is just a dick to her.
Yeah, because he says something like, oh, it takes a real saint to go ask daddy.
But it does. She got them. She has no debt to them. She owes them nothing. She's not even friends with them at this point.
I know. She's known them, what, 2 days, 3 days? I mean, like,
and really? She doesn't even know them. She felt if he was circumcised or not. But other than that, she really had no contact with them at all. When she tried to talk to Penny at the wig day, Penny was a complete bitch to her. So
anyways, going back to what's happening. So Penny just hands her the money back. And Johnny's like, take the money.
That's right.
And she's like, I can't take it because they have a gig at another hotel called the Sheldrake on Thursdays where they mm-hmm. do the Mambo. And she has to do it or they'll lose the gig and the money and everything will happen. And Johnny says, well, everybody works around here. And because Baby's like, oh, can't someone fill in? Yeah. And Johnny's like, everybody works around here, blah, blah, blah. What, can you do it? And Billy said, well, she's got moves. Like,
no, he says, it's not a bad idea. Dumbest idea ever. we've seen her dance twice. We saw her dance the, terrible. I think the merengue. Yeah. And then whatever it was that her and Johnny were, she has two left feet. I am not a good dancer. I am probably a better dancer than I am a singer, but that's a low bar to cross.
Yeah, she definitely has but some she opportunity.
And this is about the whole thing where we talked about with how long does it take you to learn to ride a horse?
I would say months.
Yeah.
Like to ride it well.
How long does it take you to learn how to dance? Even if it's not the rhythm, just a specific dance, to have the moves down, to have it feel natural.
I would say weeks.
Weeks, yeah. You can't do it in a day or two days or 3 days.
No, surely not. But in the next scene.
Well, no, actually, Penny says that Johnny can teach her.
Yeah.
And this is where.
Strong partner, you can do it.
This is where they start to learn how to dance. And some of this was real. And there's a montage here of him teaching her and
Johnny
teaching
her.
And she's working on her own. She's like kind of shuffling down the thing. And this is a point where I actually noticed that Jennifer Grey she's very interesting because there are a lot of people in Hollywood who have had plastic surgery. And the plastic surgery they have had has wrecked how they look. And it's wrecked how they looked, not because they look different. It's because they look bad. Jennifer Grey had plastic surgery and she didn't look bad after she had the plastic surgery. It's just that she lost kind of like what her little niche was.
Agree.
But yeah, baby's getting frustrated. And then there's kind of like more of him teaching her, but he is being a dick to her throughout this whole thing. And she is doing them a favor. She is doing something that she has absolutely no reason to do other than she's a good person.
I agree. But one of the things Johnny says is that you have to feel the music. It's not enough to know the steps. You have to feel the music. And so he starts kind of pressing and doing the gung, gung, gung.
Yeah, the heartbeat thing.
Yeah, and you have to feel it. And you're just, oh.
And yeah, he's trying to get her to feel it. And well, first of all, wouldn't the parents wonder where she is this entire time?
Probably.
Because, you know, they have a little bit of, I would think, 60s. Even though she's 18, they're still kind of keeping her under somewhat of a close watch. But as they're practicing, he is continuing to be a dick to her.
Lucky Frank, lucky. Look, spaghetti on. This is my dance space. This is your dance space. I don't go into yours, you don't go into mine. You gotta hold the frame.
Again. Hold
frame.
And that comes up later. Dance space, your dance space. And Penny is helping them practice.
In a different scene, Penny's there.
It's right. No, it's right here. It's right after that part.
Yeah, I know. Right there.
She steps out and they're doing like the mirror thing where Penny is doing the moves along with Baby and they're kind of mirroring each other.
Yes. What did you think of that?
The leotard thing is hot.
I thought you were going to say that.
It's the closest thing that you got to like attractive stuff on people back in the 60s.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought it was very hot, very attractive. And then Penny was there behind Baby. And so both of the women are looking at Johnny at one point and all three of them are dancing together and Penny's like pulling on Baby's hips and stuff. You know, it was just very intimate.
Oh. And now.
No, I don't have one, but that would be.
That would be where
that would be an appropriate time.
Yeah.
But Johnny has some serious pit sweat going on.
Oh yeah, sweating.
And this is something I very rarely would say about somebody in a film, but Jennifer Grey is too thin in this film.
Penny's pretty thin too, babe.
Not as thin as Jennifer Grey is. I mean, that could be the pregnancy weight, but it is Jennifer Grey is she needs a sandwich. I mean, she really, really does. But then there's more of a montage and they have the whole like, in my eyes type thing. And he's kind of manhandling her as they are dancing. And up until this point, all of her practice has been in flats.
Yep.
And she switches to heels. Mm-hmm. Order of magnitude is different, more difficult as far as, you know, just walking. Yeah, exactly.
Heels suck.
And and this is where in the fishnets, Penny's in the fishnets. I think no, actually, Baby's in the fishnets, and they're doing the mirror thing. Pretty hot.
Pretty hot.
But okay, this is where I have a question for you.
Yeah.
This is something I've never understood. Okay. I've asked this question many times to many people.
Okay.
I've never gotten it. It's the swimsuit question.
Okay.
So you have a swimsuit. Let's say you have a bikini swimsuit.
Okay.
A bikini swimsuit covers this, 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 and this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Then you have underwear.
Yeah.
Most underwear pre-thong era covers less surface area than a bikini does.
Okay.
But if you're seen in underwear, it's like, oh my God, I'm in my underwear. But if you're in a bikini, it is just fine.
Yes.
How does that work?
Social acceptance. We socially accept bathing suits, not people running around in the underwear, honey. Get over it. Okay, so I'm going to keep moving us forward here.
Okay, but, well, there's something that's coming up here. Is there's the ticklish thing on the arm.
Yes, I wanted to.
So go ahead.
In a different scene.
It's the next scene.
Yeah, in the next scene. It's a famous scene where Johnny lifts kind of Baby's arms, and then he's going to run his hand.
Switch it over so you can see your whole arm.
Oh, okay. Here we go. So she's kind of got her hand up here, and he kind of runs his arms down here and then down kind of like the side of her breast in a very like seductive way. And she giggles. Just so you know, she's very ticklish in real life.
Jennifer Grey. Yes.
Yeah, Jennifer Grey is in real life very ticklish. And so when this happened, the aggravation and look on Patrick Swayze's face is actually real.
Yeah, he's super pissed.
Yeah, and it's real because he looked at it at the time. One of the interviews I read or saw later said that, you know, it was just another take. It was just another thing they have to take again and again and again. And that's when they decided to keep it in there in the movie because it was just so real and so intense. But eventually she gets it and you see kind of the change in her face and it becomes very sexual and intense at that point. But okay, after that scene, it starts raining outside and Johnny's just like, let's get out of here.
No.
Okay, so they were practicing the lift and all that
stuff. No.
Oh, okay,
no.
Go ahead.
So they're dancing at the shack and it's raining outside. And then she hurts him. And that this meant you're supposed to shift it.
Bam.
Thank you.
I've had
now, twist and... Are you trying to kill me? You gotta concentrate. Is that your idea of fun?
Oh, yes, as a matter of fact, it is. We're supposed to do the show in 2 days. You won't show me lifts. I'm not sure it turns. I'm doing all this to save your ass. What I really want to do is drop you on it.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, and then they go out to his car.
And guess what?
Keys are locked in the car.
The keys are locked in the car.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever locked your keys
yes.
in the car?
Yes. Oh, my God. Have you?
I'm sure I have.
Oh, yeah. So my story is, just so you know, the keys are locked in the car, and Johnny has to break the window to get
He takes keys. A stump out of the ground and goes through the small back window.
Yeah. So very similar story. I was out with my boyfriend and we were parking and we wanted to go from the front seat to the back seat so it'd be more comfortable kissing. And we locked the keys in the car and we are miles and miles away from civilization. We're like in a forest, you know, somewhere. And so I said, you got to break the window. Like we have to break the window. So he picks up a rock, breaks the window. We drive back into town. And of course I have to go tell my dad that someone broke the window and someone did break the window. I just
didn't say who it was.
So I go home that night and I tell daddy, someone broke my window. And I just cried a little bit and daddy fixed it. Okay.
So did you have, now you grew up in like a small town,
a very, very small town.
I grew up in a smaller town.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did.
How many people lived in your town?
300.
Liar.
No.
Sack of shit,
Summit,
liar.
Summit was 300 people.
Okay, fine. So my town is bigger.
But, you know, we were close and kind of considered to be part of larger ones. But there was my friends, some of my friends and I, we found like the parking spot, the spot that was
the place
like,
to go.
The place to go.
Yeah.
And I had this car. This car would refuse to start a lot. The battery would just die to the point where I actually kept a spare battery in the car.
Oh, smart.
So that I could jump the car.
Yeah, smart.
But that was like the biggest fear. So like usually when I parked, I would just keep the car running because I would have rather paid for the gas than have to walk a mile and a half to somebody's house and then have to do whatever.
I get it.
But they go to a lake and they're practicing.
Yeah. So the when lift. They're driving though, she looks at him and she says, "You're wild. You're wild." And she's laughing because he is kind of wild.
But she has to purify herself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka. So
before they actually get to in the lake, they are learning to dance on a log. And while they're practicing the steps, Johnny's talking to her. And he actually, while he's walking on this log, he's explaining how he became an instructor, a dancer.
Wouldn't they have discussed this previously in the many days that they've been practicing together?
Maybe.
But anyways, I thought the log thing was very Karate Kid-esque.
Yeah,
because it's kind of a mentor-mentee teaching thing.
Yeah, but he does explain that Arthur Murray, which was very famous at that time, was giving tests for instructors, and that's how he learned to be a dancer and an instructor. So he gives her a little bit of his backstory.
But the interesting thing is this movie was filmed in the late 80s.
Yeah.
And today, if they made this film today, and they filmed it exactly the same, they had the same shots, the whole thing on the log would have been done with wires, where they would have had wires on them.
Oh, yeah, no. They did not have any.
Yeah, no, it was completely...
And he loved it. I saw that in an interview, too.
But they do have a, as I mentioned before, how they hated each other, but Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze in this movie do have a palpable chemistry.
Oh, for sure.
And it reminded me of, this is the last non-movie clip I have, of something from Friends.
Okay, look, let me ask you a question. When they were doing it on stage, was it like really hot?
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, so then you're fine. Look, the rule is, when two actors are actually doing it off stage, then all the sexual tension between them is gone. Okay, so as long as it's hot on stage, you got nothing to worry about. It's when the heat goes away, that's when you're in trouble.
And that's what
makes
it was.
Sense.
Yeah, they...
Makes sense.
And I think part of it is, you know, they couldn't lash out at each other. They couldn't fight. But they have this...
Yeah, this agreed.
Animosity, this, you know, this angst built up. And have you ever had a somebody that was in your group that you hung out with that you just did not get along with, you for some reason or another?
I'm sure.
And you just did not like them. But then at some point it turned from this into that because of that spark, that passion, that energy.
Maybe. How about you?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's, we called her Stick, but yeah.
I'd have to think about it. Okay, so they are trying to do the lift.
They're working on the lift, yes.
Yeah, in the grass, and it just is not working. Like, that is just not working. They just keep falling over. And she's really afraid to do the lift in the movie and in real life. She was very, very afraid to do the lift. So they go to the water to practice the lift, and it is freezing. And the scene with the water, mm-hmm. It's a very sexy scene. She's in like this white shirt, and it keeps falling off her shoulder, and her nipples are definitely showing. It's a very sexy scene.
Yeah.
But you can tell it's freezing, but this is actually where she learned to do the lift. It was in the water.
And that lake, that pond, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
dried up almost immediately after this movie was filmed.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's in that thing, that documentary I told you about.
Okay, the next day.
Yeah.
The next day.
It's the night of the show.
No, the next day, Mrs. Schumacher, it is the night of the show. Mrs. Schumacher is coming out of one of the buildings, and she drops
her. Who's Mrs. Schumacher?
Oh, we didn't. Just another guest. Her and her husband are guests. They're elderly, really short people.
Old bag.
Stop.
That's what I was looking for.
So, no. And so she drops her purse, and a few wallets fall out, and Penny and Baby help her pick it up. And then immediately goes into the next scene where Baby is getting a final fitting from Penny, and she's reminding herself what to do.
Yeah, Penny has a moment here.
Thanks, Baby. Look, I just want you to know that I don't sleep around.
Defending yourself.
Whatever Robbie might have told you.
Yeah.
And I thought that he loved me.
Did you, though?
I thought it was something special.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted you to know that.
Girls always want to tell themselves that.
And Penny is, you know, Johnny is doing this for Penny and for himself. Yeah. Because Johnny needs this money as well.
Yeah, he needs the money, but Penny is a lifelong friend.
And Penny is, they're kind of like, they're partners. They're dance partners. But,
for sure. But she's scared, Matthew.
Yeah, and, you know, this week, anytime you're having any medical procedure.
Yeah, it's scary.
And, you know, between you and the oldest one, I've spent too much time in hospitals, and none of them were major things,
No. But
they were all
things
and things that could go wrong. I remember I was at, it wasn't Riverside. It was the other one, but I'm sending my boss a text at like 4 o'clock in the morning saying, yeah, I'm not going to be in the office tomorrow because I'm in the hospital. My son was rushed into emergency surgery.
Yeah, for his appendicitis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and this is the 60s.
Yeah, and he was so young. Dylan was so young when that happened.
But yeah, Baby reassures her, and
And at that point, it kind of breaks into another scene where Baby tells tells her sister Lisa to tell her parents she had a headache and come check on me once, and blah blah blah, basically cover for her. And so you see Johnny and Baby dancing at the Sheldrake. And she looked a little bit too made
up. Starts a little, well, yeah.
Her hair and makeup are a little bit too made up. It almost doesn't even look like her.
And I think that's the point, though. That is kind of, the overdone thing. But when they start a little rough. I think she goes left when she's supposed to go right, or she goes right when she's supposed to go left.
Yeah,
and he's talking her through, and this is the first time that Johnny is actually just talking to her. He's not talking down to her. He's actually just talking to her, and he's talking to her as they are going through the dance. Like, okay, now's the turn. Now's this, and it was a little off.
And she still very good. Lift.
And yeah, she screws up at one point, and they go with it, and she just kind of like shuffles away, and the lift doesn't happen, but they keep going. And
I mean, overall, not too bad.
What, you were never in band, right?
No.
So when you're in band, one of the worst things you can do when you're playing a song is they used to have these things called challenges. So you are first chair, second chair, third chair, whatever chair you happen to be, first chair, highest chair. And you would have a challenge to move up a rank in the band.
Okay. Okay.
And
sounds like tennis or something.
And you'd be like, you know, I play trombone, so da-da-da-da-da. Oh, damn. Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, shoot. Da-da-da-da-da. Shoot. And I remember the director said, when you screw up, keep going. Because when you stop, it draws attention to the fact that you screwed up.
And Johnny does that for her.
If you just keep going, you can kind of get past the fact that you screwed up.
He does that for her. Okay, so the dance finishes, and they're doing their bow, and they see the Schumachers who are staying at.
And who is this? Who are the Schumachers?
Again, it's the elderly couple.
The old bag.
Never mind. Anyways, so they are now driving back in Johnny's car, and she is changing clothes in the back seat. And Johnny,
he's sneaking a peek in the rearview mirror. She's very, very wholesome. Baby is very, very wholesome.
Yes.
I guarantee she had some huge-ass granny panties.
Probably.
There's nothing else.
It's 1963. That's all there was.
And I guess it was the era of like the pointy bras and stuff. But he's definitely sneaking a peek in the rearview mirror.
He's interested. He's, you know. And things are a little awkward in the car.
But so. She's sitting, when she comes back to the front seat,
she climbs over.
She's a little bit closer to him
than
actually
in the middle.
Being on her side.
Yes.
Kind of like you in bed at night where you're like, you know, move over. Get on your side of the bed.
Okay. So things are a little awkward, but she's sitting close and it seems like things are going okay. So they get back to Kellerman's.
Right into a hornet's nest.
Yes. And actually what I was going to say is Johnny opens her car door. What a gentleman. He is like the bad boy that's also the gentleman. So hot. And if you notice, he reaches to hold her hand.
No, I did not catch that.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So you can tell this relationship is progressing. And everything bad that could have happened went bad with Penny and the abortion. So they run and get Johnny. They go up to check on Penny, and she is sick as a dog from this abortion. And when baby sees that, she gets scared and she runs to get her dad, who's a doctor. And
yeah, the cousin says that they showed up and it was a dirty folding table and they locked him out of the room. Yeah, baby runs and she goes gets her dad, and he's asleep. And
she wakes him up.
Yeah. I think she grabs his bag.
She does. She grabs his medical bag and they run back to go check on Penny. And he goes and checks on her and he's helping Penny and he sees Johnny. Mm-hmm. And you can tell her dad is pissed.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a judgmental prick, but he's a good guy. And he asks who is responsible for this girl. And what he's asking is not, Johnny is, you know, I'm not responsible for this. I'm responsible for her.
Yes.
And Johnny says he is.
But that is not what the dad hears.
Right. And all of them are waiting outside and the dad comes out and Johnny tries to thank the dad.
I know.
And
he's a jerk.
He just blows by and he grabs baby. And
he said, "This is what my money paid for."
Yeah, she tries to talk to her dad, and he wants no part of that.
Was that what my money paid for?
Daddy, I'm sorry. I never meant to lie to you.
You're not the person I thought you were, baby. I'm not sure who you are, but I don't want you to have anything to do with those people again.
But can I just explain?
Nothing. You're to have nothing to do with any of them ever again. I won't tell your mother about this. Right now I'm going to bed. And take that stuff off your face before your mother sees you.
See, he agrees with you about her makeup.
Yeah, it was a little much. So a couple things there to unpack is, one, did your mother or father ever catch you doing something and said they wouldn't tell the other one?
Oh, no. No, no. I got to wait till your father gets home stuff. No, there's no way. And no, absolutely not.
What about with our kids? No. Are there things they've told you that you're like, I won't tell your mother about this?
No. No. I mean, I don't listen to him anyway, but there's honestly, when it comes to the kids, they're going to go to you with, and you know, there's a lot statement. Of don't tell, you know, dad about this. Or
yes, there's lots of times.
I don't want him to know about this.
The boys will say,
or he's going to make fun of me for this.
Yeah, they'll say, don't tell dad about this. And then I run and tell you. It's so the other thing I was going to unpack, when a parent tells a child, you are to have nothing to do with so-and-so or so-and-so, you just go running right back to them. Oh, yeah. Well,
and
that's why we don't do that. Because if we didn't like, because there have been times with our oldest.
There have been kids, yeah.
Yeah, our oldest and our youngest. There were at times where I was like, I'm not so hot on these friends. But I never said a word because it would just make them that much tighter.
And my parents did not know the vast majority of my friends. I honestly think
we know a lot of our kids' friends.
Yeah, but I don't think my parents met Doug until our wedding.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And I went to New York with Doug. I mean, but
you went to Europe with Doug.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. But I don't. So no, that's not true because my dad did drive us to the airport in Chicago. Okay. But
all right. So let's move on with the movie. So baby goes to Johnny's room. And he's shirtless.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He looks fantastic. Ugh.
It's a pretty big place.
And he does have a big place, but he's the main dancer too. So he has a bigger place. So he starts picking up his clothes and he starts saying, you probably have a great place. And she's like, no, this is a great place. And then she starts to apologize and say, I'm so sorry about the way my father treated you. And Johnny says, you know, people treat me like I'm nothing because I am nothing.
You have a clip for this. This is like your one chance
because
to
my
shine.
Father.
You know, the way he saved her, I mean, I could never this do anything like clip. That. That was something. I mean, the reason people treat me like I'm nothing is because I'm nothing.
That's not true. You're everything.
You don't understand the way it is. I mean, for somebody
this
like me,
cool.
Last month, I mean, juju bees to keep alive. This month, women are stuffing diamonds in my pockets. I'm balancing on shit, and as quick as that, I could be down there again.
No, it's not the way it is. It doesn't have to be that way.
I've never known anybody like you. You look at the world and you think you can make it better. Somebody's lost, you find him. Somebody's bleeding.
Yeah,
and
go get go my daddy. Daddy. It's really brave.
Go get daddy.
Said. That took a lot of guts to go to him.
It did.
You're not scared of anything. I don't
know. I'm scared of everything. I'm scared of what I saw. I'm scared of what I did, of who I am. And most of all, I'm scared of walking out of this room and never feeling the rest of my whole life the way I feel when I'm with you.
So, two things here. The
bam!
The record changes almost immediately after that.
Yeah.
It's like a perfect cue.
Oh, and yeah. And they dance.
There's few times in your life where there are, like, if you play a sport, sometimes you are just on fire. When you can read every green and you are hitting every putt, or you're playing basketball and, you know, you can hit a shot from anywhere. You're just in that zone and you can feel it. And then there's also times where ahead of time as a guy, you just realize, I'm going to get laid. and this is the time
you got out of that.
Where, yeah, he knows he's going to get laid. And he says, he asks her to dance with him and she goes to him.
She asks him to dance.
Okay. Well, but there's that moment.
And it's hot.
It's coming and there's something magical about like that first moment, but this gets dragged out. It's a solid 2 minutes.
Well,
that they're just kind of.
It's slow. It's seductive. They're swaying. She's kissing his neck, his back.
Yeah, there's
she's
no dialogue.
Touching his ass.
And her they still haven't kissed up. Yet. And then, yeah, he takes her shirt off. They still haven't kissed. And
he's so hot.
Finally, they kiss.
And then they get it on.
There's a huge problem here.
Okay, what's up?
So
I would get a pass, right? Like if
Patrick, for Patrick Swayze, yeah, if you want to sleep with Patrick Swayze right now, go ahead.
If he was alive, though, like I could have gotten a pass, right?
Sure.
Oh my gosh.
Sure.
So hot.
But you need to have a similar base. Okay?
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
No.
Yes, you do.
Fine, go ahead. Put the camera on you. Go ahead.
He's been around the block. She hasn't even seen the block.
He's teaching her.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Not in this case. No. Okay.
Yes.
This is 1963. And this conversation actually comes up later. And Johnny is probably 23, 24.
Yeah, probably.
Like how many 19. How many women has he slept with? 40? 50?
Oh, countless.
And she, you know, betting man's, the smart bet is she's still a virgin.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's
questionable how much she's even kissed. It's 1963, Matthew.
You have to have some kind of commonality.
And
there.
No, you do not.
Because it's going to be a
no,
problem.
No, you do not. No, you do not. Okay, so the next morning, the family's eating breakfast. The talent show.
You're just wrong. You're wrong.
I am not wrong. I am right. And we're moving on. The next morning, the family's eating breakfast. The talent show announcements are going on. And Dr. Hausman says they are leaving tomorrow. And that's when Lisa, the sister, and the mom are like, we're leaving the show. I want to be in the show. And somehow they convince him to stay. But all of this is about this tension between him and baby and what happened the night before.
But Neil wants, he needs her help with the props.
And, yes.
And the dad, during this whole conversation, the dad talks to the sister, talks to Lisa, but he will not talk to baby.
Correct. So he just has no words for her.
And Baby goes to
Penny's. And Lisa loves it. She loves the attention finally.
Oh, yeah. She's finally like the number one kid.
That's right.
And
the favorite.
And you have three siblings.
Yeah.
I have one.
Yeah. Were you ever the favorite?
Oh, yeah. I've been the favorite for quite a while at this point.
I think I've been the favorite
for a while. I was not the favorite for a long time, and reasonably so, because I was who I was in high school, and Michael was who he was in high school.
So it's just easier.
But
to love.
It is, to be the favorite. You know, when you become the favorite, it's like, hey, this is kind of cool.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
But Baby goes to Penny's cabin.
Yeah, to check on her, and she finds out her dad has already been there, and Penny says how appreciative she is that her dad, you know, helped her and everything, and that she's just feeling better. So then Johnny shows up, and everybody gets uncomfortable.
Yeah, he kind of ignores Baby in this scene.
100%. He doesn't know what to do, and Penny's reading the room.
But Penny wants to know how it went last night with the dance, because obviously she had her own stuff going on.
And they basically said it was good. They basically say it was good. And Penny, again, is reading the mood in the room.
Yeah, she can feel the tension. She can. The tension is just, it's just there.
And so Baby excuses herself, and Penny asks Johnny, or tells Johnny, you're never supposed to get mixed up with them.
Yeah, knock this shit out is basically what she's saying.
Yeah, she's just like, you need to be done with this.
You got
to
stop it now. But Baby.
Stop it now.
Baby is waiting outside.
Oh, yeah.
For Johnny.
And he tries to blow her off.
He does. He's got to run.
Yeah.
This has to be hard on her. I mean, he punched her V card and
now he's like blowing her off.
Yeah.
Like basically, asshole.
Yeah. Well, if they had been
asshole
on a similar starting position, you
stop.
Know,
it okay, wouldn't I'm been... not going to agree with that. So anyways, she yells at him, Johnny. And then he turns around and smiles.
Yeah, they share a moment.
And that's where it all goes from there.
But it's raining.
Yeah, it's raining. And Baby tells her family she's going to go to the lobby to play charades. And the next scene is her and Johnny laying in bed.
And this is...
this is a great dialogue.
You've had many women.
What?
Have you had many women?
Baby, come on.
I want to know.
No.
And this is where he explains it.
Yeah.
Look, you gotta understand what it's like, baby. You come from the streets and suddenly you're up here and these women, they are throwing themselves at you and they smell so good. And they really take care of themselves. I mean, I never knew women could be like that, you know? And they're so rich, they're so goddamn rich, you think they must know about everything. And they're slipping the room keys in my hands 2 and 3 times a day, different women.
2 and 3 times a day.
So here I think I'm scoring big, right? And for a while you think, hey, they wouldn't be doing this if they didn't care about me, right?
That's all right, I understand. You were just using them, that's all.
But no.
No, no, that's not it. That's the thing, baby. See, it wasn't like that. They were using me.
Yeah.
So I had this conversation with this girl. She honestly was the last girl that I've kissed besides you.
Wow.
And she was in Wisconsin or Minnesota, one of the two. I can't remember which. But okay. I'd see her periodically when I'd be back in the homeland. And we talked about it like years later after we'd been married for quite a while. And, you know, I was just trying to kind of level set things with people in my life. And she said, no, I get it. You know, you use me. And I said, no, I didn't at all. This was all, I was always very honest about the situation. I lived here. You lived there. I like you. I enjoy spending time with you. It can't go anywhere because of the realities of it. And she said, you know, honestly, I never thought about it that way. And she said it totally changed her opinion of it because if it was a situation where if she was somebody who was local.
Yeah, that's different.
I totally would have dated her. It's just, it was circumstance.
Yeah, it's different.
There's no way that I actually could. But Johnny's whole thing is he's kind of right. He has the magic tonic. He has the cure for what ails these.
You bet he does.
These bored old housewives.
You bet he does.
But
he knows how to use it. But anyways, so they're kissing, and he actually asks her what her real name is. Do you remember her real name?
Of course I do. It's Frances.
Frances, like the first woman in the cabinet.
My grandmother, who was disappointed with me because I was dabbing myself down with stripper panties when I was getting married. So
again, it was a glove and it's fine. And I laughed. Okay. That night, Lisa tells Baby that she has decided to go all the way with Robbie. And Baby tries to tell her she needs to wait for someone that you sort of love. And Lisa just says, well, you're just jealous because you're not daddy's little girl anymore.
It's a fair point. It really is.
Yep. Okay, so we go to the next scene, the next day. Do you want to take it from there or no?
Well, Baby and Johnny are dancing together. And
guess what comes up?
She's mocking him. It's like, this is my space. Because he's all up in her stuff now. Arms.
Yep, she's teasing him.
And Johnny, at this point, the dancing is secondary to
Oh, yeah, he wants to get his hands all over her. Yeah, hands all over her.
And they do this
lip syncing
to
each other.
Hey, lover boy.
Yeah.
And
it's really cute.
Once again, they definitely have heat.
They do. They do.
Neil comes in at this point. Neil, who has not come up in a while. He's the grandson of Kellerman. And Neil says he wants to shake things up for the last dance.
Yeah, the show, the final dance. It's always the mambo.
And Johnny has ideas too. And he's super excited because, this is great.
He's got some modern stuff he wants to do. Yeah, he goes, I got some really great ideas.
It's like, nope.
And what does Neil say he wants him to do?
I don't even remember what he said, but
the
Neil.
Pachinga.
Neil kind of talks down to him. But the question is, did Neil actually know what was going on with Baby and Johnny here?
I don't think 100%.
He probably had an idea, but he wasn't 100% sure. But Johnny is pissed.
Yeah, so he was like, fine, Neil, whatever.
You're right, John.
A little wimp. He would know a new idea if it hit him in the pachanga. He wanted some new ideas. Jenga. I could have told him some new ideas.
But why did you let him talk to you that way?
What do you mean? You fight the boss man?
Yeah, tell him your ideas. He's a person like everyone else. I'm sure.
Look, I know these
great
people, baby. They are rich and they're mean.
Rich
they won't
mean
listen to me.
Well, then why not fight harder? Make them listen.
Because I need this goddamn job lined up for next summer. My dad calls me today. He says, with good news, you know, he says Uncle Paul could finally get you into union.
Oh, what union?
House painters.
House painters and plasterers, local number 179 at your service.
Yeah.
And this, once again, experience is not just the number of people you've slept with. Experience is your life, what you've
life
experienced,
experiences.
What you've done. Baby does not have any clue how the world works.
Not yet.
Johnny very much so and he's right. If he fights with Neil, it all goes away.
Yep, that's right. So in this scene, or right after this, they see Robbie, Lisa, and Dr. Houseman coming out of the building, and they kind of scurry down to the ground, and basically they're hiding because they don't want her dad to see them. And he's like, were you ever going to tell your parents about us? You know, you keep telling me to fight harder, but you're not fighting for us. So you can tell at this point they're in some type of relationship.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess by default. But yeah, he says that you never intended on telling your dad. And
did you have any relationships you hid from your parents?
No. I mean, there's relationships my parents didn't know about, but I didn't hide them because, I mean, every now and then my mom would pull some nugget out of her ass of how she knew some of the stuff going on in my life. And that was just because she worked at the bank, which was right down from the high school.
Yeah.
So she got little nuggets of information about stuff, but I didn't hide stuff, but I didn't, it wasn't that I was hiding stuff. It was just that I didn't tell them
all the time.
But I mean, my parents weren't that involved in my life in that aspect. So
I like to keep the facade going with my parents that I was this
angel
kid they had. I was very late in life for them and I just wanted to keep that going. So I hid lots of things. Okay. So Baby runs to Penny's place to talk, looking for Johnny.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is after Johnny had stormed away in the scene before because he was pissed because she wasn't going to tell her parents. But
yeah, and she's wanting to say she's sorry.
But yeah, baby's at Penny's cabin. Johnny's still pissed.
And she starts kissing his shoulder and stuff. And then Robbie shows up.
Comes around the corner and he sees that and he basically calls baby a slut.
Well, he says, clearly I picked the wrong sister. And what does that do?
Johnny beats the shit out of Robbie.
Yeah, basically. Penny looks pretty like she's disgusted, right?
I was waiting for him to do the throat rip because that's Johnny's signature move. You know, it just rips the throat up.
Stop.
But there's Roadhouse.
Yes, different movie. Anyway, Penny kind of looks disgusted with the whole thing. But after he beats up Robbie and he's just about ready to pound him again, and then he's like, you're not worth it, he runs over to hug baby.
And then there's prep going on for the end of summer talent show. Yeah,
Lisa's practicing her song, which is really bad.
I don't know.
Did you know that she wrote that song for this movie?
No, I did not know that.
First of all, I think this is the only thing she ever did. And second of all, she wrote that song. Lisa wrote that song for this movie. She gets credit for it.
But it's not supposed to be good, though.
It's not supposed to be good, but it's really bad. And baby's painting a tree.
Palm tree.
Yeah. Sure. And Johnny's working on the show. And this married woman.
The lady from earlier, yeah, the Vivian, Bungalow Bunny. Yeah. Yes.
She's hitting. She wants to hit on Johnny and wants to have.
Well, she goes to Johnny to have him light her heater.
Yeah.
And she says that she has something special planned for them since it's their last night.
Yeah, because her husband, Mo, who always plays cards, you know, he'll be busy doing that. So Mo offers Johnny money to give his wife some extra dance lessons.
Just a bankroll. It's a banker's
role. It's huge. Yeah, it's huge. And Johnny says no. And baby's watching this entire scene play out.
Yeah.
And she is so happy to see him. I mean, but Johnny does look at the bankroll, kind of contemplates what to do, hands it back, and then baby's all smiles.
Yeah, the wife is pissed.
Oh, yeah, Vivian's pissed.
But baby's happy, and as the sister sings as bad as me.
Oh, yeah. But then Lisa tells baby in the same scene, tonight's the night with Robbie.
This is great.
Yeah, this is great.
The sister goes to Robbie's place, and she knocks on the door, and
Nope, she goes to Robbie's place, and what is hanging on the doorknob on the outside?
I don't know, a sock?
A towel. Okay. A towel is hanging on the doorknob.
Well, it's the college thing.
It's the same thing as a sock, Matthew.
Sure.
Everybody knows this, but maybe not in 1963.
In 1963, and, you know, Lisa is 23 years old. She's still a virgin.
Yep.
She hasn't been around the block. So.
But she opens the door.
If they were on the same page, if they had the same experience
Matthew,
level,
shush.
It would not be a problem.
So she opens the door, and what does she see?
She sees Vivian on top of Robbie.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever walk in on anyone? Did you use a sock or a towel on the door?
No. I never had sex in college, so.
Liar.
But
is there a liar button? Go ahead and hit it.
No, there's not. Baby and Johnny are
in bed.
Yeah, they're in bed together. And Johnny had this dream about the dad
and
accepting
him walking.
Him.
Yeah, walking arm in arm together, and he accepts him.
And then the wife walks out of Robbie's cabin. And sees baby and Johnny together.
Yes, saying goodbye the next morning and kissing goodbye.
And okay,
so you have
Vivian.
She's pissed.
You have Vivian.
Yeah.
Right. Mid-40s, maybe.
I thought she looked old, like 50s.
Yeah, but this is the 1960s.
Well, okay, fine, whatever.
So she's a goer. She's attractive. She knows her way around the block. She's getting beat out by this 18-year-old virgin.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, it's upper crawl.
But the whole family the next day is
at breakfast,
and they're with Max and Neil.
Yeah,
and they
share the story about a wallet being stolen.
Yeah, there's a thief.
Yeah,
on the loose, and Johnny has no alibi.
Yeah, they accuse Johnny.
But baby knows that Johnny doesn't do it because she was bawling Johnny that night.
Yeah.
And
so she accuses the Schumachers.
Who are the Schumachers again?
Stop it. The older couple. It's
the old bag.
Stop. And basically, Max is, and well, first of all, our dad's like, don't accuse people. You don't have, you know, any right to be accusing people. And Max says he's going to go fire Johnny.
Yeah. And Baby says that, I just knocked something over. Baby says that she needs her dad's help to clear Johnny.
Yes.
And the dad won't help.
No.
And this is where Baby suggests the old couple. And Kellerman and Neil are going to fire Johnny.
And she says he couldn't have done it. Johnny couldn't have done it. He couldn't have done it because
he was with me, or I was with him in his room all night.
In his room.
And the next.
Wait, so have you ever come clean on something like that to save someone else? Because she clearly.
That usually is like $20 extra.
Oh my gosh, man. Okay, what I was meaning is she clearly could have let it go, you know, whatever.
So you rat yourself out.
You rat yourself out.
To clear. I'm sure. I told the story before about how I confessed to something that my brother did just because so sick of hearing about it from my parents.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay, so later her dad is looking out at the lake and Baby walks up and she apologizes to her father. She says she loves him and she's sorry she let him down, but he also let her down.
Well, she points out his hypocrisy.
Yes.
And not everyone is the same, but you can't keep giving me the silent treatment.
There are a lot of things about me that aren't what you thought. But if you love me, you have to love all the things about me. And I love you. And I'm sorry I let you down. I'm so sorry, Daddy. But you let me down too.
And that's hard. I mean,
it is hard.
You know, obviously both of us have lost our fathers.
Yep.
And, you know, I think about with our kids, the last time I told one of our kids that I was disappointed in them.
Yeah.
And that was because Dawson, our youngest, is not taking advantage of the fact that he's a good looking kid. So he can, you know, go out there and meet some women. But you know, I knew my dad for 49 years and, it was, you know, we had good conversations. We had bad conversations. We had good times. We had bad times. I never had a full falling out with my dad. I never had a period of time where, you know, we wouldn't speak or anything. We had disagreements about stuff and we disagreed about different things. But, you know, in that 49 years, he told me he was proud of me one time. And the weirdest part of it was he was proud of me for something I did not give a shit about. We were on Bascom Hill. It was my graduation day from college. And one of the things you did at Wisconsin was there's at the top of Bascom Hill, there's this statue of Abraham Lincoln. And you go and you get your picture taken sitting in Abraham Lincoln's lap. It's very, very similar to the statue that's at the Lincoln Memorial. And we're walking down Bascom Hill. It's my mom, my dad, my girlfriend, and myself. And my dad just kind of puts his arm around me and he says, you know, son, I'm proud of you. And it was weird because it was the first time he ever said it. And there were many times he told me he was disappointed in me, but the fact that he was proud of me for something that I just didn't put any kind of weight in. I mean, I graduated from college. It was just
Matthew, that's huge.
A thing that everybody graduates.
Well, no, everybody does not graduate.
A lot of people graduate from college. It's not in and of itself an achievement. So it was just, but the whole point is that was, you know, through the entire time and through my entire life, it's like the hardest thing to hear is, you know, my parents don't trust me or my parents are disappointed in me. And God knows I gave them reasons to not trust me and to be disappointed in me.
You did.
And to be fair, so did you.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah. But I can tell you countless times my parents told me they were proud of me.
But yeah, I in my notes, it says this was hard. It's the hardest thing I ever heard was my parents saying they were disappointed and let them down. But Baby is sleeping and Johnny wakes
comes
her
in. Yeah. Yep. And he shares with her that the Schumachers.
Who are the Schumachers?
according to you, the old bags.
There you go.
That they had found the wallets and that the Schumachers were wanted in several states.
But
he's getting fired anyway because of her.
Yeah, not because he's a thief, but because basically he banged a blue blood.
Yeah, and so she's mad and she's saying, I did this for nothing.
Yeah, well, he gets his summer bonus if he goes quietly.
Yes.
And this is where she has this kind of realization.
You're right, Johnny. You can't win no matter what you do.
You listen to me. I don't want to hear that from you. You can.
I used to think so.
Yep. So the next scene, Johnny is going to talk to Dr. Houseman because he's leaving anyways. So he knocks on the door and he tries to tell him how great Baby is. And he basically accuses Johnny of knocking up Penny.
Right.
Yeah. And then seducing his baby. And Johnny just walks away. Doesn't even correct it. Just walks away.
Yeah. He never got his back window fixed.
Yeah. No. So then Baby and him are saying goodbye at his car. And She's Like the Wind is playing, which is the song Patrick Swayze sang for this movie. And it was this huge hit that you already mentioned. But he says, I'll never be sorry. And she says, neither will I.
It's summer love. You know, it was for
and
now.
And they kiss, and then he drives away.
But it's not a passionate scene. It is
no.
almost just an acknowledgement of it was what the it moment. Was in the moment. And that's kind of what I was talking about before, where there are certain times where you have realizations of, I only can do what I can do based on the realities of the situation. And for them, it was the moment, and they had kind of accepted that. And okay, so I actually have a point here, blah 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 blah, but Baby is crying, and the next scene, the sister Lisa, who's been nothing but a complete biddy to Baby the entire film,
offers to do her hair,
and it's the night of the final talent show.
And she offers to do her hair, and it's the first time you actually they seem close as sisters. They actually see that you see this bond between them. And then Lisa says, it just looks better the way you wear it. And so there's this moment between them.
Well, Baby has, Jennifer Grey has this cute natural hair. Quality to her, I think.
Yeah.
And she's one of those women, I think, that probably looks better when she's not made up than when she is.
Yeah, more natural looking.
Yeah. I mean, maybe very, very light, just a little bit of powder possibly.
Not
a ton. But
so then we're at the talent show.
Baby's in a corner, which is important.
Baby's sitting at a table in a corner. There's a group on stage.
It's a really crappy talent singing. Show.
Yeah, there's a group on stage singing. It's kind of the end of you know, the summer, end of their 3 weeks, end of everything. And Robbie walks up to Dr. Houseman, and Dr. Houseman gives him money.
What? I mean,
for medical school. Why are you looking at me like that?
No, no, it's not at you. It's at the situation. Even absent the fact.
It's a tip. He's going to medical school. Dr. Houseman's been to medical school. He knows how expensive he is. This is why these kids go to this expensive Catskills resort, is to get huge tips to take back to college. Anyway, Dr. Houseman gives him the money, and he thanks him, and Robbie thanks him for helping Penny with the situation.
Yeah, he buddy F's himself.
Yeah, he basically, finally, Dr. Houseman gets it, that Robbie's the one that knocked up Penny, and he grabs and takes the money back.
And as all this stuff is happening and the talent show is going on, the help is all of the
standing in the back.
Yeah. And they're all just kind of like
the dancers. Yeah, they're pissed.
Oh, you see that? I'm representing Reedsburg.
Yeah, I see that. And Tito, we've talked about Tito before, and Mr.
Honestly,
Kellerman,
this is very progressive, and it didn't get brought up when you talked about Tito before. This is 1963.
Yes.
And Mr. Kellerman and Tito, they have this conversation kind of about how this is an end of an era.
Yes.
And the fact that Tito, who is a black gentleman, and Mr. Kellerman, who is not, have this close bond. Mm-hmm. It is kind of cool, because you would not have seen that in the 60s very much. And but as Kellerman and Tito are talking, he's kind of lamenting the end of an era. Yeah. And he said, kids don't want to do this kind of stuff anymore. They want to go to Europe.
Yeah.
And then Johnny comes in.
Yeah, then Johnny walks in.
And the crew is all kind of,
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah.
And he scans the room, and he goes over and... I can't believe it. Hold on a second. Sorry. Yeah, he scans the room, and what is he scanning the room for?
For baby.
And where is it?
Where's baby in the corner?
What? Why? And what is it about baby? I can't find it.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Oh, there you go. Here you go.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Summer's
famous ending. Line. Famous
line. Probably the most famous line in this film.
Yeah.
And then
he grabs her hand and they walk on stage and Dr. Houseman's about to stand up.
Yeah. And he says that he has this speech and I wasn't going to pull this, but the things that he says are actually kind of cool here. And he talks about how he always does the last dance of the season, but he was told he couldn't. And here's where it picks up.
So I'm going to do my kind of dancing with a great partner who's not only a terrific dancer, but somebody who's taught me that there are people willing to stand up for other people no matter what it costs them.
Yep.
Somebody who's taught me about the kind of person I want to be. Miss Frances Houseman.
Frances. Sit down, Jake. Yes.
And that's where the mom says, sit down. And this is where this movie up until this point actually exists in a reality that has reality about it.
Yeah.
And it leaves at this point because it would not get this kind of reaction from the crowd. It would get the reaction that it gets from the staff, but the blue bloods, the other people that are there, the guests at Kellerman's, would be like,
I don't agree with you.
Well,
I don't agree with you. But what happens now is...
And she wouldn't be wearing heels either, because she would be wearing flats, because she's not going to wear heels to sit in the corner.
Of course she's going to wear heels. You wear heels when you get dressed up.
She's not dressed up.
It's the last party.
She is all depressed. Whatever. She is wearing like whatever. No.
She's got her heels on. Okay. No. And this is when the Time of My Life song is played, and it's this the famous dance for this movie. And the crowd is clapping and having fun.
Yeah, the sister's digging it. The mom says that she thinks that baby gets it from her.
Yeah. So Johnny and her dance.
I think Swayze actually messed up his knee at one point in this scene where he jumps off the stage.
Yeah.
And he's kind of doing a solo, and then the entire staff breaks off into a pre-flash mob, what would now be considered a flash mob.
Yes.
And of course, they're going to do the lift for the finale.
Yes. Very famous scene. And she finally does the lift.
Yeah. All the crowd is getting into it. And Neil is dancing with the wife or the mom. And the rich wife is pissed. And
Johnny and baby are hugging and dancing and just loving their eyes.
And then the dad kind of apologizes to Johnny.
He says, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong.
But he never says, I was wrong.
And then he tells baby, she looked wonderful out there.
He says, yeah. And the song is extended here. This
It is an extended version of the song.
And
everyone's dancing, Matthew. Even the older guests. Everyone is dancing. Everyone is having fun.
As the song is ending, I don't know if you caught this or not, but Johnny is singing to her.
Yeah,
he's
mouthing the words. Yeah.
She is not.
No, he is. Yeah, he is. And he really focuses in on, now I've had the time of my life, and I've never felt this way before, and I owe it all to you, like those words. And then they kiss,
and everybody dances around, and he lifts her up, and they start to dance, and the camera pans out or pulls out. And the credits at the end are the same as the credits at the beginning until they go into... a recap of Johnny and baby dancing together, and then it fades to black. So,
movie's end.
I want you to play out the string here.
Okay. Oh, no, I was going to ask you that. Go ahead.
What is baby and Johnny's future?
I was going to say, what do you think happened in the next scene? Like the next day?
She goes off to college and he goes on to the next thing. There's no future here. Honestly, it kind of reminds me of the movie Mischief. At the end of the movie Mischief, you have the girl and the guy, and he goes and he gets a job at a horse farm.
Okay.
And she goes to be with him. Baby is not going to do that.
Yeah. I did think about what their life would be after this dance, after this, you know, 3 weeks or whatever. And I agree that Baby probably went off to college or the Peace Corps or something, and Johnny went on to do what he was going to do.
Yeah, I don't think there's a future there. Yeah. And that it is.
But you know what?
It's a summer of love.
It was the time of their life. It was a summer they'll never forget.
So
did you have any of those moments, a summer romance or a vacation?
Well, most of my romances were very, very fleeting. So a day, a night.
Like I went to Myrtle Beach when I graduated high school. And I had a vacation romance in Myrtle Beach. There was a guy I met there, and we hung out all week. And he was from Ohio. His name was Pat. And I thought when we left, it was over and done. Vacation's over. He lived like 2 hours from me. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it was not over for him. Because I went back, and I had broke up with a boyfriend before I went on vacation because I was afraid I might meet someone. And then I got back from vacation. We got back together. And
yeah, I've done that. I've done that gig before.
Yeah, I did. And we were on a date. He brings me home from that date.
Yeah, you've told me this. And he's there. I pull up
and my dad is on the porch with the guy from Myrtle Beach named Pat. And he's holding a bouquet of flowers. And he has been sitting there for hours with my dad.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, what a talk we had after that. My dad's like, yeah, I'll leave you two out here to talk. There, love my dad.
There's a, you know, there's shelf lives on things. And it is a lot of it is being realistic about what it is.
I mean, I was hours away from him. I'm a newly high school graduate. I'm going away to college. I don't know what this cat's doing. He was just there on vacation with his buddies like I was there with my class.
It's just like work. What is the big, for what I do as a transponsor, the biggest thing is managing expectations. And that's the thing, is managing expectations, letting people know the realities of the situation. And, you know, honestly, I was never the guy that people wanted to be with. So it was never, it was never an issue.
Hottie.
But, so the movie's over. You know, I watched it. We watched it half together, half not.
I know, but and how many times have you watched
it? We had to see it. Well, I've probably seen it about 10 times.
At least.
And we had to watch it in silence because a lot of the conversation that we normally would have during the film, I did not want to have, so we could have it.
Yeah.
It's a great film.
Oh my gosh, it really is so good.
And it is, it's something where it very easily could fall into the 80s trap of being a product of the 80s, and it holds up. I really enjoyed it. 100%. I thought it was so good. Mm-hmm. I definitely would
recommend it. Yeah.
But everybody's seen it though. Honestly, there's not going to be a lot of people other than Doug that have not seen it.
Yeah. I don't know how he can not watch this. It's awesome. And his wife's a dancer. Like Doug's wife's a dancer. Go watch it, Doug. Be with your wife. Talk about it.
So,
yeah, highly recommend. Awesome. 5 stars, whatever you want to say.
Yep. Ding, ding. No nudity. I mean, maybe like there's, you know, nipples in the scene, but that wouldn't count according to Doug. So.
No, that wouldn't count. But, and destruction of property, yes.
Yep. So not a lot of forethought as to how to get out of here. So I will give you the cue. I have an outro. So first of all, thank you very much for participating
in this.
Fun. We may do this again at some point.
Yeah.
We may not. it is such a pain in the ass if you saw all of this stuff that I had to set up to actually get it set up to work. But
hopefully I didn't make you look bad, babe. You know, I brought it.
You did better than I expected. I wouldn't say you brought it. You did better than I expected.
What do you mean? I didn't bring it. I brought it.
You did better than I expected. But so for anybody listening, listen to us on... Actually, no, I can't say that because this is not a regular podcast. So thank you very much for listening. I will actually play the outro and I'll let you know what... So I'll give you kind of like the thing as we go out here. And... but if you are a fan of this podcast, please tell your friends. There's the main podcast, which is Betamax Rewind. And then anything else to say? You got 7 seconds.
I love you, babe. Thanks for having me.
Love you too. Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
I can't.